Quilting is such a wonderful art, isn't it? It produces lovely items, and it can be a social occasion, a way to pass sometimes cultural and family traditions from one generation to the next. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Nancy Zeman has been coming into our homes as the host of Sewing with Nancy for more than 30 years. Hard to believe, but she's been a companion and a teacher for generations of sewers and quilters. And we're happy to have her with us today to talk about those decades of programs, also talk about quilting, and of course, the Quilt Expo that is coming up quite soon. You may have a quilting question for her. Maybe you have a question about the expo itself. Are you a sewer, a quilter? How'd you get the bug? What keeps you doing it? Maybe you have a favorite pattern or a question about one. I'm pretty sure Nancy can help you out. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Nancy Zeman, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, it's a pleasure to be back. Can you believe it? This is our ninth time we've talked about Quilt Expo.
And you know, every time it's fun.
I enjoy too.
Well, you've been hosting Sewing with Nancy for over 30 years, more than 20 years on Wisconsin Public Television. I'm sure I've asked you this question before, but did you ever think you'd be still doing this after all these years?
Never in a million years, Larry. It's been a great ride, a great classroom. I still enjoy doing that, so I hope to do it, you know, a few more years.
Well, I hope you continue to do it as well. What has changed in the field over those decades?
Wow, since we first started doing sewing with Nancy, sewing machines were mechanical. They still are, but now they're filled with computers. Probably more computer power than the first Apollo space shuttle, space capsule. So the technology part of it has really changed. And initially, sewing was and quilting were kind of a need to do thing for some families. Now it's totally a creative outlet. You can certainly clothe yourself a lot more inexpensively at purchasing things, but the process and the enjoyability of using your hands to create a quilt in particular for a special occasion or a gift for a friend really has, that's why people are hooked on it. It's the process. You're not sitting in front of a computer screen reading, putting data in. You can see the process and it's a tactile thing.
Yeah, it really is. And sewing is such a wonderful skill to have anyway. Do you see interest and ability increasing or waning with the current generation?
It's much to people's surprise, it's totally increasing. The blogging sphere of quilters is immense. Gals in their late 20s, 30s, early 40s, there are hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 blogs on sewing and quilting. And that's where the new interest lies, is, you know, just every day going online and to see what you can learn. And the moms making things for their kids, that's a huge area of growth. It's fun to see that area being re-energized.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you most love about quilting, and why do you think it's gotten so popular again?
What do I enjoy most about quilting? Well, my favorite thing to do is landscape quilts, which no two are alike, and the process is different. And if you go somewhere on a vacation or your backyard, you have a special flower bed, and you take a picture. You can garden during the winter time. By creating a landscape scene. And, I make 3 or 4 landscapes a year, and it's totally relaxing for me personally. Not everyone likes every type of quilting, and that's the nice thing. There are so many varieties of from modern quilts. There are modern quilt guilds now where really bold, bright, big patterns are used to traditional quilters where the traditional smaller, intricately pieced quilts are still are very much pieced or even done by hand. So the range is wide, and that's kind of what we like to feature, too, at our expo. You'll see, you know, all the varieties.
Yeah, and that's probably one reason why it's so popular, because there is so many different ways to do it.
Oh, right, and there aren't any rules, really. You know, maybe there's a rule if you want to get it perfectly square, but as far as design goes, you can just do whatever your heart desires, and if you like it and you enjoy it, that's the whole key. It's for self-satisfaction and enjoyment. And having something to look at and say, hey, I made this.
Yeah, and it was at one point, historically at least, a social outlet for women. Is that still true?
Sure, from the quilting bees of a long time ago, there are quilting retreats. There are businesses that just cater to craft and quilting and sewing retreats where they've designed their buildings so you can come in and stay the weekend. So there are so many options to be social. And there are guilds all across the country, whether they're traditional quilting or art quilts or modern quilts, where, yeah, it's like the Cheers bar, but only with the beer in hand with Norm, but you have fabric and rotary cutters and enjoyment.
We'll take some calls. You can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. Willem in Colfax up first here. Willem, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say how I think it's really important that people use these things like quilts that not only do they sort of adorn, not just to adorn a life, but to enrich it, to use beautiful things. And like I remember seeing the show in the Milwaukee Art Museum, the quilts of G's Bend, and it just like blew me away. It was so powerful, those quilts, and they were made from scraps of materials and they used to like cover their wood piles with them and just their to keep warm, and they were things of utility. And I think that's the idea that William Morris had about his reaction to the Industrial Revolution. And there's a Japanese philosopher, Sutsu Yanagi, who wrote The Unknown Craftsman. It's about these things that people make by hand that have a quality that machine-made things just don't have and can't have, really, because, you know, we're people and different than machine-made things.
Willem, thanks a lot for calling. Nancy, comment?
Yes, I really enjoyed your comment that it enriches life. Fabric, textiles, and the person that made the project, whether it's a big quilt, small quilt, or a wall hanging, they want it to be used. They want it to enrich and people to enjoy it. And like the women of G's Bend who used every bit of scrap, that was their outlet. And so many quilters use this as a creative outlet to just totally immerse themselves in an art. So you have really given a great synopsis of why people quilt.
Yeah, and
appreciate those quilts.
And Nancy, could you just briefly expand a little bit on the G's Bend, the significance of that?
There was an exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum many years ago, and it was, I think, Mississippi or Alabama, excuse me, for maybe not getting the correct area, but African-American women made these very abstract quilts from leftover jeans, from portions of tablecloth, but they used bold colors, bold patterns, freeform, nothing cut and measured. And they have such impact. And I remember reading a touching story of a woman who would sew till 2 o'clock in the morning. She had to work so hard during the day in the cotton fields or whatever her labor was, but this gave her a purpose for living. And as we talked about earlier, they did it together often to have a social event. So if anyone ever gets a chance to see this exhibit, it's not only about design, but historically, it tells a sad story, but an interesting story of how people coped.
Yeah, and I was glad Willem called because it reminded me to ask about men and quilting. Do men quilt and they sew as well? Do you hear from them often?
Yeah, men quilt, no doubt about it. In fact, one of our evening speakers, his name is David Taylor, he calls himself the reluctant art quilter. And he does beautiful pictorial appliques. And you'll see in our quilt exhibit numerous guys that have exhibited. And one of our lecture speakers from Milwaukee, his name is Bruce Seeds, does fantastic, intricate kaleidoscope quilts that knock your socks off. I interviewed him on television and just knew he had to be a speaker. He's an architect by trade, and you can see his trade influenced in his art quilts. They're precise, spectacular. You got to see it to believe it. So guys are just about as not percentage wise, but they are making an impact.
Someone called in and wondered how many years Quilt Expo has been going on.
This is our ninth year for Quilt Expo, and it started by having one hall of the Alliant Energy Center, and now we have the whole works. We're using every bit of space, including some of the conference rooms where we have hands-on classes, and we have like 126 lectures, and people sit and sew at 30 classes, and vendors. We had one of the halls for the of the Lion Energy Center. Now we have all four, so there's 85,000 square feet of new stuff to see, but vendors have. So it's grown. And that first year, I was so afraid no one would come. I can remember thinking, my neck is going to be on the chopping block if no one shows up. But thankfully, they did.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, and they've been coming back year after year after year. I'm sure there are several people out there who have probably been to all nine.
Yes, I think so, too.
Nancy Zeman, our guest today, producer and host of Sewing with Nancy. You see it on Wisconsin Public Television. Talking with her today about quilting and sewing and the Quilt Expo coming up. And the dates for that, by the way, September 5th through the 7th in Madison. So it's great to have a chance to talk with her about it. You may have a question about sewing or about the expo. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, post a question or comment there. Or if you've got a photo of a really cool quilt, we would love to see that as well. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll stay tuned because today at 11:45, Wisconsin author Victoria Houston joins us again. She's going to talk with us about her most recent installment in her Loon Lake Fishing Mystery Series. This one's called Dead Insider. But right now, talking with Nancy Zeman about sewing and quilting, and great to have her along. Thank you again for listening in. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. And you know what? Quilt Expo, as we said, is coming up September 5th through the 7th, and Nancy and Wisconsin Public Television have generously offered 12 pairs of tickets for our listeners today, for you. We'll give you about 10 minutes to get these entries in, and then we'll do a random giveaway. So you can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. If you email, please put tickets in the subject line. So if you email, put tickets in the subject line and also include your name, address, and phone number in the message. The tickets are going to be at Will Call booth at the Quilt Expo. So just pick them up when you get there. And again, we have 12 pairs to give away. So once those are gone, that's it. And Judith will call or email back to you only if you are one of the lucky winners. So if you don't hear from her, that means you didn't win a ticket. But, you know, you got a good chance. So you can, again, call 1-800-642-1234. Or better yet, even maybe, email us at talk@wpr.org. And if you email, put tickets, that word in the subject line, also include your name, address, and phone number in the message, and we will randomly draw. Marcus in Madison, thank you very much for calling. Hi.
Thank you very much, Ms. Zeman and Mr. Mueller. My question is sort of pre-industrial. A couple of areas that I'm doing some research in have overlapped, and I would be curious to know what you could possibly tell me about the techniques used in sewing, clothing, et cetera, just in everyday practice before the invention of the sewing machine, when it was exclusively a real hand craft, and where one might find further information on the techniques used. And, you know, I suppose they still have applications today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. There are books. Let's see. I'm in my office right now, and my assistant's going to pull the green book right there. There are books that we bought in on eBay, and it just shows the difference of pre-sewing machine and difference of how they stitched then. It was, you know, intricate handwork. They had very detailed patterns. Almost all newspapers carried patterns that people could send for, and they were so limited, or they had to draft them. They gave drafting instructions. Honestly, the process isn't that different. Think of cutting wood with a handsaw or with a table saw. You know, you're still going to cut that piece of wood. It's just the amount of energy exerted or used to sew it mechanically or by hand. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but there are books that you can research to see the difference. But yet I look back at some of these books and I think, wow, they really knew what they were talking about. When you looked even around the turn of the century, you see these detailed garments. They knew their craft, even though it was all hand-done. Just took a little bit longer.
Yeah. There you go, Marcus. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Pat in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just had a question because of Nancy's perspective. Has she seen any effect from the economic downturn on families or quilters or quilt shops because of people losing their jobs and the price of cotton being rising and the price of supplies and thread? And I just wondered how she viewed things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling.
Pat, that's a good question, as all of them are. It's people are being more choosy, as we all are in consumers. As consumers, and whether we're buying a new washing machine or clothes, something for our home, I think they're being savvy, doing more research. A lot of people have fabric stashes that they're revisiting for instead of maybe buying. But boy, it's really tempting, you know, when you're a quilter or sewer, to see those new things come out. And maybe just make that special purchase. And when you can feel and touch it, it's kind of difficult. The rise of sewing machine sales in the midline and the beginner line are huge. And that's encouraging that people are taking up the art. So I think it's comparable to other industries, nothing out of the norm. It's still a thriving part of our culture and business.
Okay, I'm glad to see it's thriving.
Yeah, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
And on to Harlene in Madison. Hi, Harlene.
Good morning. Have a question. Now, last year I brought a 100-year-old quilt and had it appraised and enjoyed also seeing the expo for the first time. This year I have a question. I'm going through a trunk that is filled with things up to 200 years old, and I have two sets of blocks ready to be put together. I mean, all the little intricate parts are done, but it's like 28 blocks I have, and I have no idea how to go about putting them together. Would there be somebody there that would be able to help me?
Well, I'm sure there would be. A 200-year-old set of blocks, or even a 100-year-old set of blocks, is definitely worth assembling, putting together. We have in the vendor mall people that sell antique quilts that are ready-made. Perhaps they could give you some suggestions. Carol Butsky, who does the quilt appraisal, who perhaps you worked with last year, would also be able to tell you, you know, probably the vintage of that quilt and some suggestions for you. It would be an appraisal of an unfinished quilt, but she would be my best source if I were going to direct you at this moment. But you may find some other people there who have vintage things in their booth that could help you as well.
Okay, super. Thank you.
Thanks, Harleen.
Yeah, good advice. And maybe we should, as long as Harleen mentioned the appraisal, that's something we haven't talked about, but people can bring a quilt?
Yes, you have to sign up in advance, and you can go out on the Quilt Expo order form online, and there's a phone number that we can put on your Facebook page, 6445. That's what better put it up there, Larry.
Well, let's repeat that one.
Okay, 866.
866.
297. 6545.
6545, okay.
And people can sign up for all the classes and the lectures and also quilt appraisals. And Carol Butsky is one of the quilt appraisers, and she will tell you, she'll make your quilt talk. You know, you can tell the vintage. Can't really necessarily tell the maker, but, you know, the design, what era. She's fascinating to listen to and very helpful when it comes to things that are found and not really, you don't know what to do with them.
Sort of like an antiques roadshow, except it's just with quilts.
It truly is.
Well, and, you know, just speaking about that, I'm sure the value can range considerably. Some of these quilts can be worth a lot of money, can't they?
Oh, quilts can be worth, you know, thousands. I've seen, you know, not only on Antiques Roadshow, but, you know, right in your cedar chest, perhaps. And the importance, she would also tell you, the importance of refolding now and then or storing in tissue paper that's made for non-acidic tissue paper. So there are some things that, you know, to preserve, but then also get them out and enjoy them.
Yeah.
That's what the maker wants you to do.
By the way, the contest is over. We'll give you the winners in just a minute here or two. Judith's working diligently on that while answering the phones that are ringing off the hook. Because a lot of people I have are calling in with questions and so forth. So the contest is over. We've got the 12 pairs. We got 12 names, and we'll give those in a minute or two here. In the meantime, you can join us with a question at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. And certainly we'd love to hear from you. There is a quilt to give encore project going on again, isn't it?
Our third year, yes. Of the quilts last year, we made over 20, I think, quilts, and then people brought quilts that were already finished. Yes. We make full-size quilts. And 25 quilts were donated last year to either women's shelters or areas where relief was needed. There was a fire in Wisconsin where a family lost everything. A family of six. They got six bed quilts.
Oh.
And, oh, it's been just a wonderful event. And I didn't think we'd do it a third time, but, wow, the need and the people love to make it. And on our website, we give you the instructions, the free instructions if you want to make one in advance. It's kind of, you'd have to sew quickly.
But
you can sew for 20 minutes, for 10, for 2 hours. And
right at the expo, you just show up and sew.
Yeah, it's right out in the open. And we're looking for donations of fabric, especially solid colors, a fourth of a yard or more. And it's right in the atrium, right around where the classes are, the Minota classes, if you're familiar with the Alliance Center. And we have machines set up, cutting tables, ironing boards, and then someone from Baby Luck does the quilting on a long-arm quilting machine. And so from start to finish, it's pretty remarkable and exciting to see all the different color combinations from the donated fabrics.
I think it's just a great, great idea, and probably you may have trouble eliminating that from the program.
I'm hoping that it goes on. I never anticipated that, but boy, there's always need, and the design is easy. So
yeah.
We'll continue until we find a different design that we can make in a hurry.
Sue in Milwaukee has a question. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, I bought a quilt at a rummage sale that is hand-stitched. Cost me a whole $10, but it needs to be cleaned. I had somebody spill something on it, so I need to get it cleaned. So that's my question. I believe it would be a cotton blend.
Okay.
It's probably... It's a double bed size, so I don't know what to do with it.
Clean an antique quilt. That, boy, without seeing the quilt itself, I'm going to give you one very odd way of cleaning or using the out-of-doors to clean a quilt.
Okay.
Okay, one of them is, of course, just airing it out, but that's not going to get rid of the stains. But this,
yeah.
this is...
I think she's... By the young friend spilled soda on it, I think. So.
Soda on it? Okay. Well, there's Orvis soap, Orvis quilt soap, that's very, very gentle. It's non-detergent. And,
Orvis? Okay.
Yeah, as in the man's name. And then a friend of mine cleans antique quilts. She rakes her lawn so that there isn't any grass clippings, and she puts the quilt in the sun... on the grass. It was unconventional, but the sun rays sometimes can do some cleansing of this quilt. I know it sounds really weird, but that's what I'm going to tell you.
No.
But otherwise, you could Google, you know, I'm not an expert on antique quilts.
This is not an antique quilt.
It's a new quilt. Oh,
yeah.
Well, then if it's a blend, you can, you know, you could try some washing, but you can soak it in the bathtub, hand wash it, and then maybe on a cycle in your washer to do the light spin, because it will be hard to get all the moisture out.
Right.
But don't use detergent. Use the quilt soap.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
I don't know a lot of. I don't know everything.
You know a lot.
Jack trades, master of none, maybe.
Oh man, Nancy Zeman, our guest today, talking with her about the Quilt Expo coming to Madison September 5th through the 7th. Lots of great activities going on at the expo, and we've got 12 winners. We know for a fact that you're going to have 24 people there, Nancy. Probably times several thousand. Oh, man. Benita in Muscadet has a question. Hi, Benita.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I'm questioning, will you have your new autobiography book, there at the Quilt Expo. And if you will talk about your new book.
Yes. Boy, this is kind of an embarrassment. It's halfway of an embarrassment to me and halfway I'm proud of it. Yes, I have an autobiography that will be released nationally to all bookstores, but we do a pre-release, and we will have the autobiography called Seems Unlikely, Seems spelled S-E-A-M-S. Unlikely. I'm doing a presentation on it 8:30 on Thursday and Saturday mornings, and I will be signing books. I have, you know, I have an unusual journey. Obviously, someone with a facial paralysis to be on television is kind of an oddity. So I was encouraged by enough people, and it was our 30th anniversary on television, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, now's the time. Yes, it will be there, and gives the, you know, the history of things, and many people have challenges in life. And, you know, if we let that challenge dictate our lives, then it becomes our life. But if we try to look beyond it, there's so much more out there.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
Well, I'm looking forward to that book myself.
Well, you never know, Larry. Maybe we'll have to talk about that sometime.
We may have to have you on the show to talk about it.
Yeah. In February, it will be nationally released in bookstores, and we're just doing this pre-release for our friends at Quilt Expo, and then some of the proceeds will go to Wisconsin Public Television and Adoption Services.
Oh, wonderful. What can viewers look forward to during this season of Sewing with Nancy?
Yeah, season of Sewing with Nancy just started online, and soon will be on Wisconsin Public Television. That you can watch Sewing with Nancy online at nancyzeman.com. 52 of the shows, and we have, speaking of quilting, we started out the series with something called Sew Big Block Quilts, 18-inch blocks, which, Larry, is really a big size,
yeah.
Makes fast quilts, and then we're doing some handbag tote fun things. We try to do a little sewing, a little quilting, working with knits, working with one pattern, and making changes so that you have a variety of styles. And then we do embroidery. And we're going to do a first time Sewing with Nancy on the road, and guess where we're taping that? At Quilt Expo.
Ah! Wonderful.
So, 26 shows, and you'll get a variety of topics.
Well, nothing like adding a little work to your schedule during Quilt Expo.
I thought, you know, anything. The only thing I miss doing during this Quilt Expo is making a wedding dress. I feel like I'm going in all different directions.
Oh, man. Well, Artis in Richland Center is up here on the phone. Artis, hi.
Hi there. Hey, I've got a story that will curl everybody's hair if you know sewing machines. Years ago, when my three sons were little, I was making Barbie clothes, and this was back in the early 50s. Therefore, I had sons who were interested in sewing machines. Now, one of them is also interested in cameras. Well, he's now 52 years old, and one day he called me about a year ago and says, Mother, I've got something to tell you. I just bought a sewing machine for $5. I said, Colin, you're in Ohio. I think that our long distance is not very good here. He says, yes, it is. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, what did you get? He says, I walked down the street two blocks. A younger lady was selling her mother's things. And since he's into cameras, he sees a little box sitting there. It's either got a camera or a sewing machine in it. So he picks it up. She would not take any more than $5 for it. So he calls me and says, Mother, you can have it if you want it, but it's on eBay already. So I said, okay, hold on. I'll go to the bank. I'll put some money in, get a check. It'll be in the mail. I'll come back and call you. So he said, okay. I paid $300 for a Singer Featherweight for $5, and I have it. But it's just disgusting to think that I know, and he knows his sewing machines at a kid that age. He doesn't sew, but it is a story in itself.
It is. Well, good deal that someone now appreciates it.
Well, I do. I have two of them now. I'm looking for more.
You know, you're saying
right? You know that, right?
Yes, well, right, I do. They're wonderful machines.
Well, artists,
good job, artists.
I'm telling you, artists, you are a kind soul not to get after your son a little bit for selling you $300
Well, but he said, Mother, I'll ship it to you. It cost me $12, a 12-pounder. I didn't much care. But he knew that I would want it because I want as many as I can get. You know, it's that little crave for that little finger featherweight. But I think it's a story in itself since he's interested in helping Mother.
Well, good job.
Thanks, Artis. Thanks a lot. Uh-huh. We have our winners of the 12 tickets, so let me just read those off quick. We've got Barb Y. I'm just going to give the last name, first initial. So it's Barb Y in La Crosse, Sandy Y in Greenville, Tom H in Delavan, Debbie A in Fix Lake, or is it Fox Lake? I bet it's Fox Lake. Yeah, Debbie A in Fox Lake, Suzanne H in Whitewater, Deb M in Black Earth, and A in Wanakee. Now, here's a guy, Don P in Wrightstown, Linda S in Cedarburg, Sharon W in Verona, and then we have Laura D and Marge H. We don't have the addresses, but it's Laura D and Marge H. I think we only had one of each, so you know who you are. You'll get Judith's going to send confirmation out. You'll be able to go to the will call window, and you'll get a pair of tickets for each one of you. That's a nice gift. Thank you for providing that, by the way, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's part of the Quilt Expo team, and we look forward to seeing many people there.
September 5th through the 7th, and again, it's at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison.
It is. Well, Larry, thank you.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure. And let me know when that book is ready to go, okay?
We'll do that, Larry. Okay.
Thanks again. Nancy Zeman, producer and host of Sewing with Nancy on Wisconsin Public Television. And, of course, Quilt Expo coming up to Madison February 5th through the 7th. Always a lot of fun to visit with Nancy. And this year's Quilt Expo sounds like the best yet. Coming up next, Wisconsin author Victoria Houston joins us to talk about the most recent installment in her Loon Lake Fishing Mystery series. It's called Dead Insider. That's coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.